Well, we are into our third week of our 21 days of prayer. Today, I want to explore what happens when we don't pray. Okay, when we don't pray, when we don't make proper time to linger in the wonderful presence of God. Now, as I've been waiting on God for what exactly I should share this morning, I felt God take me back to something he spoke to me about several years ago at the early part of when New Life Church was beginning. And we'd been meeting around in my house for around 9 months. This was in 2012. But we felt it was time to move into a public building. And so we decided to move into French A Village Hall at the beginning of 2013. We were all dead excited as a church. This was a big change, you know, to be really up for it. And that's when God laid on my heart the story of when David wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, having lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines for around about 7 months. Now, when I did this, when I covered this story back then, I did it over 4 weeks. Don't worry, I'm planning on doing it about 20 minutes today. Why I did it over 4 weeks then, I don't know. Let me give you a bit of background. The Israelites had been suffering many, many defeats against the Philistines. So, you know, a way to try and turn the tables, what the Israelites decided to do, I know we'll take the Ark of the Covenant with us into battle. A little bit like a lucky charm, a bit of superstition. And they believed that having the Ark of the Covenant with them would guarantee victory. It didn't kind of work out as they planned. I don't think they sought God at all as to whether this was a good idea. And as a consequence, they lost the battle and the Ark of the Covenant was carried away by the Philistines. And they were really pleased, and they thought they'd got this wonderful trophy, the Ark, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, and they stuck it in the temple of their god, Dagon. Well, God wasn't too pleased in being in the temple of Dagon, and so the true God caused a lot of chaos and caused all sorts of tumours and plagues and all sorts of things, so bad that the Philistines got fed up of it and they decided to send the Ark back to the Israelites 7 months later. And the Ark then remained in a place called Kiriath Jearim, the home of Abinadab. And it was there for about 20 years until David decides he's going to move the Ark back to Jerusalem, really in order to reunite the nation of Israel and reunite them into God. They've been quite an ungodly nation during this time. So what did he do? David built a brand new cart, stuck the Ark of the Covenant on this cart, got a couple of oxen, and off they went, and they were praising God. And they went over a threshing floor, and everything started to wobble. And there was a guy there called Uzzah, and he thought this thing was going to fall on the ground. So he reached out to send him, he touched the Ark, and God struck him dead. Terrible. But such was the holy presence of God. This put the fear of God into David. He just didn't know what to do. And so the Ark remained in a home of Obed-Edom. And it remained there for 3 months while David scratched his head, thinking, you know, what am I going to do? Where did I go wrong? And this is where we come to the part of the story that I want to talk about now. And we pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 to 15. Now, King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God." So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. I mean, those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps. He sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpet. You see, this time, David moves the Ark in a way that God wanted him to move the Ark, the way the Ark should have been moved in the first place, which was to be carried by the Levites on special poles. He was so shaken up by his first experience of getting it wrong that after just six steps, David stops and he worships God, makes sacrifice, and then they set off again. You know, we don't know really how long it took David to move the ark back to Jerusalem, doing it that way. We don't know how long it took. But one thing we can absolutely be certain about, what we do know from this story, is that the focus of that journey was on God. The focus was on God. They spent a massive amount of time in his presence worshipping. That's what we know. And as I think back over this story, and I consider our own situation here today, two churches coming together as the Well. I felt God speak to me afresh through this story. And here are just two things that I want to share with you this morning. Firstly, is what we're doing a purely practical thing? Two churches coming together being efficient, or is it spiritual? Is it practical? Is it spiritual? I think what we're doing is not simply some kind of practical solution to a problem. For example, we're really struggling to see new birth, we're struggling to see growth. So let's pool our resources, let's complement one another's strengths and giftings, and perhaps we can do better together. There is nothing wrong at all with that kind of thinking, and I'm pretty sure that in our togetherness, we will be better and we will be more effective. I do believe that. However, I don't believe that what we're doing is simply trying to solve a practical problem. What we're doing here, the Well, for me, is a result of a spiritual imperative. Spiritual imperative. What on earth do you mean by that? A spiritual imperative. What I mean is, it's a word from God. God has said, if you want to see growth, then this is what you need to do. Come together. Get back into mission. This is the word of God to us. At least I feel that. This is what God has said to me. It's a command, if you like, of God. It's a spiritual imperative. It's not just about a practical solution. It's about obedience to the prophetic now word of God as he speaks to us. You know, we are on a new journey together, aren't we? We're on a new journey. But the question that comes to my mind is, how are we going to carry mission into this journey? How are we going to carry the presence and the power of God into this new chapter of the Well? How are we going to do it? How is it going to work? Ultimately, how are we going to carry the presence of God and the power of God into the communities around us? How does it work? Well, I think the answer is the same answer that God gave me back in 2013. I think it's the same answer that God gave to David when he was scratching his head and saying, well, how did I get it wrong? How do I move your presence, Lord? And the answer is this: six steps and then worship. Six steps and worship. Now, please, I'm not talking physical six steps here. But also, I'm not just talking about worship being a bit of a sing-song on a Sunday morning. Because that's not worship really, is it? What I'm talking about, in the midst of all the stuff that we have to do to come together for the Well to be effective, in the midst of all that, we need to make time to come into the presence of God. We need to linger in his presence. Something that came out in one of the prayer meetings from Lindsay, I think, wherever you are. We need to linger into the presence of God. We need to love him. We need to worship him. We need to listen to him. And we need to respond to him. And that takes time. Let me share a testimony. Over the last several months, particularly over the run-up to Christmas, and it wasn't really to do with Christmas, over the last several months, for me and for Kim, my wife, it's been pretty exhausting. There's been so much to do. And don't get me wrong, I am dead excited about what we do. I felt Paul's excitement. I am so excited that we've come together and we're doing what we're doing. It's brilliant. And, you know, the journey ahead, for me, it's a step of faith. It's a journey of faith. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't quite know where it's going to end up. But I'm in for it because I really believe God is telling us this is what we need to do. And I'm excited. I'm in faith. But the problem is, over these last several months, I found myself so buried, if you like, under all the stuff that needs to be done, all the practical, to try and make it run smoothly, to try and take the burden off other people, I found myself kind of losing sight of the one who's called me. Losing sight of why he's called me. In fact, losing sight for all of us. You know, why are we in this? Because we get so busy. This part of me kind of wants to just get on with it. Move as quickly as possible. I don't know how, you know, some of you may want to not move quick. But, you know, for me, I want to get on with this. And so, you know, I knuckle down, I do stuff. And then somehow I take my eyes off God. And I lose something in my spirit about why it's so important, what's it all about. And God said to me, just before Christmas, he said, this isn't the way to carry my presence into the next chapter. This isn't the way to do it. If you want a soundbite, if you want to move the ark, don't place it on a cart. And just remember that. Why don't you say it with me? If you want to move the ark, don't place it on a cart. There you go. So you can get away with that. And that'd be. But there's something profoundly true about that statement. You think about the word carried. Let's just think about that word carried for a moment. I started to think about this, and God led me to the scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And I quite like the way the Living Bible says it. He said this to everyone. He said, anyone who follows me must put aside his own desires and conveniences. And he must carry his cross with him every day and keep close to me. Anyone who wants to follow me must put aside, what must he put aside? His own desires, what else? Conveniences. And he needs to carry his cross every day and keep close to me. Listen, I'm not saying that the practical stuff is not important. It really, really is. And, you know, many a thing fail through bad administration and bad organisation and things like that. But the trouble is, when we focus on the practical, at least when I focused on the practical, I found myself losing sight of the one who called me on the journey in the first place and why he called me and why he called each one of us. You know, this journey, the well, I think is first and foremost spiritual. It has a lot of practical involved, but what we're doing is what God has called us to do. It's a spiritual thing. And the only way we can do this effectively is if we stay as close to God as we can possibly stay. You know, and I recognise that as a leader, you know, I'm on the front line of lots of stuff that need to be done. And I know that probably all the other leaders we'll feel some of this the same. You know, there's lots of stuff we do. And so, you know, it's very easy for us in the busyness for this kind of thing to happen. But in truth, every one of us here can take our eyes off God and focus on the wrong things. And when we focus on the wrong things, then that's when we start to lose our way. So, can I give us an action? Action number one, let's keep our focus on God and what he wants. Not my desires, not my conveniences, my likes and all this lot, but let's keep our focus on God and what he wants, what he's saying. This will require us to slow down, to pause, to listen. As well as move, as well as do, we have to slow down, stop and listen, just like David did. It's not what David did the first time and look what happened then. You know, the first prayer, the first Wednesday prayer meeting we did, I think it was in the evening I shared this, I talked about how I've developed tinnitus. Wave your hand if you know what tinnitus is. It's horrible, isn't it? When everything goes quiet, you hear a high-pitched buzzing in your ear. It's horrible. But when you're busy and you're doing stuff and lots of noise around you, you just don't know it's there. You just don't hear it. But it is there. You just can't hear it. And for me, I felt that was a little bit like how God speaks to us. And I'm not saying that God's voice is irritating and a pain in the neck and all that. You know I'm not saying that. But, you know, when you're doing stuff and when lots of stuff going on, it's hard to hear the voice of God. But when you quiet everything down, when you slow down, when you stop and you pause and you actively listen, that's when you can hear the still, small voice of God. And that's why we need to take 6 small steps and pause and wait. We need to put into our rhythms, our programs, our whatever it is, the way we live, we need to put in place times where we listen to God and listen to his voice. So again, I repeat that first action. Let's stay close to God. Let's keep our focus on God and what he wants. That's number one. The second thing that God said to me is that we need each other. Get that? We need each other. You know, I asked myself a question, and it's not a question I've ever asked about this story, ever, but I found myself asking it this time. I asked myself the question about David moving the ark. Where were the people who could have guided David on how to move the ark properly? Why didn't somebody come up and tap him on the shoulder and say, David, you're doing it wrong. This isn't the way to do it. You know, the law tells you how to move the ark. Why are you doing it that way? Where were those people? But this is David. This is David. I mean, goodness me. David, the anointed one. The man after God's own heart. The singer of Israel's songs. He was a mighty ruler and a mighty warrior. He won't get it wrong. David. He got it monumentally wrong. And it's not the only mistake he made either. You know, in the natural, if you think of it in the natural, what David was doing, there was nothing really wrong with that. And some people, you might even think, well, you know, commend him for, you know, creating a brand new ark and sticking that on there. And, you know, it seemed okay, didn't it, in the natural? Yet he got it wrong. He messed up. There's a sense in which I wonder whether he was copying the Philistines, because the Philistines returned the ark to Israel on a cart. Well, if it's good for them, it could be good for us. You know, we don't have to do the things the way the world does it. Just because it kind of works and it's good practice, we don't have to do things that way. We need to do God's will, God's way. That's how it works. But where were those people who could have come alongside David and helped him? You know, as much as I would like to think that I do everything that God tells me to do, and I do everything perfectly the way God tells me to do it, I'd love to think that I'm like that. People who know me know that is completely rubbish, that I don't do things that way. The truth is, I have blind spots. I make mistakes. But I do. Just because I carry the label leader, I don't see always. I don't see all the right things all the time. I have blind spots. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes, don't we? Should I dare say, put your hand up if you've never made a mistake. Please don't put your hand up. We all make mistakes. We all have blind spots. We rarely see the whole picture, do we? And we can overlook things. And when we overlook things, and when we make mistakes, and when things go wrong, people get hurt. People get hurt in church. You know, it's horrible to say, but people get hurt in church, usually because we make mistakes. And why do we make mistakes? It's because we're not often walking closely enough with God. We need each other, and to do God's will, God's way, we need each other to help us to do that. So as we move forward as the well, I want to encourage each other to encourage each other. I want to encourage us all to encourage one another. Let's speak truth to one another, but do it in love and do it in a godly way. You know, even though I'm on the front line of leadership, I need you. I'm saying that in all honesty and humility. I need you. I really need you. I need your prayers. I need your honesty. I need your support. And I really need your encouragement. And I would imagine, and I hope this will be the case, that every leader in this church would say the same. We need you. We need you. And in truth, we need each other. Because that's how God has designed us to live in a family, in a church. We need each other. You know, we are all going to be feeling different emotions at the moment as we're in the early stages of the well. We're not all going to be in the same place. We're at different points in our journey. Some are kind of racing ahead. They're exciting. It's fantastic. And there's going to be others that are thinking, I'm scared. I don't know whether I'm up for this. You know, it's all these people I don't know. And we have a whole range of emotions. And we're all affected by this journey in different ways. That's why we need each other. And we need to look out for each other. And we need to come alongside each other. Notice I put prayer the first one. For me, prayer is a priority. Paul was just saying a moment ago, we need to pray. We need to pray more. Prayer is a real priority here. If we pray for each other, I believe God will give us insights in how we can help each other and come alongside each other. So, action number two. Be your brother's keeper. weren't those the words of Cain? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the true answer is yes. Yes, he didn't want to be. But actually, God's called us to be our brother's keeper, look out for one another. It shouldn't have been just David's responsibility to pray and seek God's guidance to ensure everything went right. He needed people around him who could help him to seek God, who had the same heart and the passion for moving that presence of God into Jerusalem. But how can we be our brother's keeper if we're too busy? So this comes back to the busyness. This comes back now to being so bogged down in the practical. How can we be our brother's keeper if we're busy rushing around doing stuff? Or how can we be our brother's keeper if we're focused on all the wrong things? You know, we can't. In truth, we just can't. We need to linger in the presence of God. All of us. All of us. We need to pause from our busyness. We need to realign our focus on God, not all the stuff. We need to be worshipping, we need to be praying, we need to be listening, we need to be rejoicing, we need to be responding. It takes time. You know, Bex last week brought a wonderful word about lingering in the Word of God. How many of us linger in the Word of God? Or is it a quick daily reading, write Bible down, off we go, do our stuff for the rest of the day? That is not lingering in the Word of God. it takes reading and then reading again, and then praying a little bit and then reading some more, and then taking it with you during the day in your mind, and you linger in the Word. And that's how God will start to get your focus right. And that's how you will feel closer and closer to God. I really believe that for us to fulfill the wonderful spiritual imperative of developing the well so that we can take the kingdom of God into our communities around us, we need each other. And we all need to share the same heart for lingering in his presence. So let me sum up. This is my last slide. Let me bring it all together. You know, we don't have to move fast. Hallelujah, some of you say. What do you mean we don't have to move fast, some of you are saying? This is the problem, you see. But actually, in truth, we don't need to move fast. But what really is important is that we all start together. We're all on this journey. And when God moves fast, we better move fast because we don't want to be left behind. But when God slows down, or when God stops, we better slow down and stop with God. In other words, we need to stay in step with God every step of the way. It's just like the way God led Israel with the cloud in through the wilderness. When the cloud moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. It doesn't actually matter how long it takes, really. But what is really important is that we carry his presence into every single thing that we do. Everything. You know, I know there are things that are precious to us all. Maybe things in our past. Maybe friendships that we have. Maybe even where the place that we actually worship. Maybe that's really important to you at this moment in time. But let me pose a question as I close. I want to pose this question. I read in that scripture that God was blessing Obed-Edom and his whole household. Boy, they were being blessed because the Ark of God was in his household. What if, when David come along to Obed-Edom and said, oh, we're going to move the Ark, why on earth do you want to move the Ark? What a crazy idea. God's blessing us. Can't you see it? It's working. We don't need to move the Ark. What if he'd said that? Goodness knows how the rest of the story would be written. But maybe they just wouldn't have been able to unite the nation of Israel again behind God. God wanted that move. And think about the phrase I've just said. God's blessing us. God's blessing us. Well, boy, it's great when God's blessing us, but it's not about us. It's about God blessing those outside of these four walls. It's about God blessing our communities. It's about us. We talked about about drawing and pouring out yesterday in the men's prayer meeting. We come here on a Sunday morning to draw on God, to be refreshed, to be strong, so that when we go out, we pour out what God has poured in. That's what it's all about. It's not about God blessing us. It's about us being able to go out full of God, full of his presence, carrying it into our communities, and then being blessed through us. David was not going to risk disobeying God a second time. He had to do God's will, God's way. And I believe we need to do God's will, God's way. Luke, last week at the prayer meeting, he shared how sometimes comforts can really restrict us. Remember, it's not about our desires and it's not about our conveniences. It's certainly not about our comforts. Let us hold on to all those things that are so precious to us. Let us hold on to them lightly. Lightly. And let us press forward towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. I really feel now that God would want us to spend a bit of time in his presence. I've been talking about slowing down and stopping and giving God room. And I want us to do that now. And if the band would like to come up and join me. As you examine your own life and your own routines, your own rhythms, and where you're at the moment, I want you to just ask yourself, am I really giving God the room that he desires and he requires? Or am I so busy doing stuff? And I'm not saying any of the stuff that you might be busy with is bad. I'm not saying that. You know I'm not saying that. But have I become so busy that God is kind of crowded out of my life at this moment in time? We're going to sing a song called Make Room. Starts, here is where I lay it down. Here is where I lay it. Well, we're here. Am I willing to lay some stuff down this morning in faith and say, God, I want to make more room for you this morning. I want to draw closer to you. I want to be able to linger in your presence. And Lord, I want to be able to hear your still, small voice. I'm not going to ask you to come out, although if you want to come out, you know, and be ministered to, then please do that. You know, in a moment you can come and forward, stand at the front, and a few of us can pray for you. But actually, you might just prefer to do it where you are because this is really personal. But what I will ask you to do, because I think it's important that we actively respond to a word. So all I'm going to ask you to do, if you feel God has spoken to you this morning and you feel in your heart, yeah, all this busyness stuff, all this kind of losing my way, or yes, Lord, I have been focusing on all the wrong stuff at the moment. God, I need to refocus and realign myself on you. If you feel any of those things, I just want you to simply raise your hand and then put it back down again. If you feel any of those things, just raise your hand and put your hand back down again. Beautiful. Well, we're going to sing this beautiful song now. And during this song, let this song be a prayer between you and God. Here is where I lay it down. Here is where I lay it down.